All right. Why don't we try that again? You glad to be here? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad to be here. Take your Bibles, Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. And why don't we stand together? We'll read Colossians chapter number 1, starting in verse number 13. Continuing our series in the book of Colossians, whenever I get opportunity to preach, and I have thoroughly enjoyed it so far. This is message number 3. And just looking forward to it tonight. I've enjoyed studying it. And when you study for a message, God works on your heart. I mean, He works. You're having to have invitation before you come out here. And so I'm thankful for how God used it in my heart and pray that He'll use it in yours. So Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse number 13. The Bible says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." So I just want to talk to you tonight about complete confidence in Christ. Let's pray one more time. Heavenly Father, we know that tonight, without You here and without You working, everything is vain. And so God, I pray that You'd be here with us, and that You'd help us to put distractions aside, whether it be a physical distraction or a mental distraction. God, I pray that You'd put those away, that Your Spirit would meet with us tonight and do the work that only You can do. And God, we pray that You would help us to glean this message from Your Word, apply it to our hearts, and live it out. And we'll thank You for all that You're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Confidence, or maybe some, maybe another Bible word for it would be boldness. Confidence or boldness is a very interesting subject. It's something that I struggled with through junior high, high school, college, and somewhat even into my adult life. Some of it, it's like a personality thing. Some of it's situational. But it wasn't until I realized a very important truth in my life that things began to change for the better. So I remember having some great friends and good times in elementary school, and things were, I don't have a really bad memory from elementary school. I enjoyed it growing up, but then my family moved and I started going to another school where I didn't know anyone. Anybody have that experience before? Yeah. Didn't know anyone. And something happened in junior high. Evidently, the Wood family genetic code, and there's a script in there that told my body to stay short for much longer than the other kids. So I was oftentimes in 6th, 7th, 8th grade, I was the shortest guy in the class, and there were even girls that were taller than me, and that was embarrassing. You can imagine being short left me open to a lot of bullies, a lot of name-calling. And I remember sitting in class one day, and the kid was sitting behind me. He took a pair of scissors and cut out a section of my hair. And so I went around the whole day with this big gap in my head. And then I had to get a haircut that was super short, and it was weird because back then we didn't have short haircuts. And so, I mean, you can imagine, it was just pretty miserable. So high school came around, and my parents decided to let me do homeschooling. And I was like, praise the Lord. Get me out of this place. And so homeschooling was great. To this day, I believe that my life is where it is because of the investment of my parents and my pastor. But it did leave me lacking some social skills there. So some of you are like, yeah, sure did. So now it's off to college. And I've got my eye on a specific girl that I believe could be the one. In fact, I had prayed for 6 months specifically about her, asking God to make sure. And it all came down to this moment when I was in the gymnasium at Heartland Baptist Bible College, and I knew that God wanted me to pursue this relationship with this girl. So I mustered up the courage. I walked over to her, and I asked her if we could go outside and talk. And my wife will tell you, I was anything but cool, calm, and collected. I was not. I think I mentally blacked out. And standing in front of this girl that was way out of my league, I was nervous. My hands were sweating. I was swaying back and forth. I don't even know what I said. And I'm pretty sure I couldn't have made it more awkward than I did. And the words evidently finally came out of my mouth. I don't know if she just felt really sorry for me, but the rest is history. And I did get to marry that girl. I'm thankful for that. Around that same time, my pastor asked me to preach a service at the church. You mean, I'd had like a year of Bible college under my belt, so I knew everything about preaching, obviously. Asked me to preach a service at the church I grew up in. I was incredibly nervous. It was my first time to preach, and I told everybody to take their Bibles and turn to Psalm 29:18, where it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." And I blazed through my notes, which I thought was a 30-minute message, and I finished in about 3.5 minutes. I stuttered, I fumbled, and afterwards I realized that I had not preached what the Bible was teaching. I preached that vision means that we need to see people like Christ sees them. If they're and if we don't, they're going to die and go to hell. And that was my whole idea of the message. And if I would have only read the other half of that verse, I would have realized that it is God's word that changes lives and not me seeing things. So anyway, well, Brother David, thanks for sharing your life story. Is that so that we can feel sorry for you? Yes. But also, there's another side of this story and these stories that I want to share with you that I think really ties into the passage this evening. You see, the evening that I stood in front of the gym talking to the girl that was way out of my league, nervous as could be and extremely uncomfortable, was because I knew that I was following God. I knew I had his direction. I knew that he could help me overcome my limitations. I knew, most importantly, that I was not alone. And I understood that God was with me. The evening when I stood in front of the people of Lakewood Baptist Church in Powderly, Texas, and preached a 3.5-minute message was because I knew that I was following God. I knew that this was his plan for my life. And that night, God helped me overcome years of fear, years of anxiety, personal issues, personality issues, so that I might be used in his service. And the truth that I have learned is that if we are going to accomplish what God has for us in life, then we must put our complete confidence in Christ. Not in us, not in our abilities, not in our skill, and not in who we are, but our confidence has to be in Christ. I still have to pinch myself to make sure I'm not in a dream that I did get the girl. And I do get to preach, and I'm thankful for those things. But none of that is possible in my own strength. And if we're ever going to move forward for the cause of Christ and his plan and his purpose for our lives, we must stop relying on ourselves and put full confidence in Christ. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of his everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." Why does he use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise? Because he gets the glory. He gets all the glory. He deserves the glory. It's all about him. When I began to realize that it is about him, it's not about me stuttering. It's not about this and it's not about that. It's not about what I wear and it's not about what I drive. It's about him accomplishing his purpose for my life. Things began to change. The confidence that the Apostle Paul had as he went about doing ministry, that many of us would look at the Apostle Paul and we would say, Are all these stories true? I mean, the Apostle Paul, all the things that he went through, all the things that he was able to accomplish, is all that true? Every word. Not because of Paul, but because of Christ working in and through Paul. So let's look at our text here. What is he talking about? First of all, number one there, confidence. Paul had confidence in his complete deliverance. Confidence in his complete deliverance. When we get saved, it's amazing what happens. A there, it says, God removed the spiritual blindness. God removes the spiritual blindness. It says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Sometimes the world drives me crazy. I see the things that are going on and all the destruction of sin and the hurt that it brings. And I scratch my head and I think to myself, can these people see that when you choose sin, you choose to suffer? Can they see what this is going to do to their family? Can they see how this is going to affect their future? Can't they see that these things are temporal? Can't they see that the praise of men is empty and vain? Can't they see that where this path is going to lead? And so many times we look at the world and we see these things and we're like, what are they thinking? And then I remember that they are spiritually blind. In fact, the Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, it says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I'm so thankful that as a saved child of God, I don't have to wander through life spiritually blind, in darkness, groping in darkness, because that's where the world is. And we scratch our heads and we look out at the world and we say, why do they keep doing that over and over and over again? Why do they keep pursuing these things over and over again? It's because of the spiritual blindness that is overtaken. It's there. We were sometimes in blindness. Before we received the light of the gospel, we were in the same place. And I think that there's some Christians that have had that light of the glorious gospel shine on them. But so many times I think there's Christians walking around like this, willfully in darkness, walking into the same things that the world is walking into, walking into the same traps and the same tricks of the devil. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you've been saved, then you have been delivered. You have been absolutely delivered, and you can be confident in the deliverance from darkness, from the power of darkness. I'm thankful for that. It goes on to say, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? It says, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Where are we gonna have this confidence so that we could go out and accomplish something for the Lord? So we're getting over the things that are limiting us, so that we're getting over the things that hold us back, so that we can do something for God. Well, first of all, realizing that God, being confident that he has delivered us from this blindness, from this spiritual darkness, but also God has made us a citizen of heaven. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. Not only has the blindness been removed, but we have a new family, we have a new home, we have a new destination, and we have a new body that we're going to receive someday. Romans 8:16-17 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You have been adopted into the family of God. God is your father. What a resource for confidence and boldness. Not looking to yourself and saying, you know, God wants you to do something. God wants you to go out and maybe witness to the coworker, witness to the family member, maybe do something in a ministry, and it's outside of your comfort zone. But when we look at the scripture and we understand who we are in Christ, we can have incredible confidence and incredible boldness to do anything that he asks us to do. So we've been adopted. Philippians 3:20 says, for our conversation is in heaven. from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working there whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Not only adopted, but we're made citizens of heaven. The word conversation here means citizenship. That's where our citizenship is. We're just like a citizen of a country. This citizenship spans life. It goes beyond this life. It goes beyond the grave. We have been made citizens of heaven. We even get a new body. And many of us after the holidays are looking forward to that day. Maybe ate a little bit too much. God also paid the penalty for all of our sin. It says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Through his blood. Not our own goodness, not our own ability, but through his blood. God has paid the ultimate price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ, the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, bled and died on an old rugged cross. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the dead, and he ascended up to heaven. He took his blood and made an atonement for you and for me on the mercy seat in the temple that's not made with hands. Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Listen, all the sin that you've committed, when Jesus took your sin away, he took all of it, past, present, and future sin, and it was covered by his blood as he took that atonement to heaven, and he sprinkled his blood on the mercy seat, and your sins were forever, eternally forgiven. Amen. You're a child of God. You're a citizen of heaven. You have the light of the gospel. The world falsely and fakely walks around with boldness. But inside, if they were true and honest to themselves, they would be shaking and nervous, and they should be shaking and as nervous as can be. Because their eternal destiny is not heaven. It's a lake of fire. So why so often do we walk around defeated? Why so often do we walk around nervous, not accomplishing what God wants us to? We've been bought by the precious blood of Jesus. He's given us the, he's sacrificed his son for us. He continues on. It says, even the forgiveness of sins. God forgives all our sins. He paid for those. He paid the penalty. He paid that, but he also forgave it all, forgave all of our sins. Isaiah 43:25 says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for my own sake and will not remember thy sins. What a wonderful Savior. You know, I can forgive somebody, but it sure is hard to forget sometimes. And God says, in my infinite power and wisdom and ability, I am not only going to forgive your sins, I am going to forget your sin. When we stand before God Almighty, we're his child. We are his child. We are a citizen of heaven. We have that access to the throne room. Just like here, my kids run around all over the place, and not everybody goes back to the office area because they feel like that's where you get in trouble, so everybody tries to stay away from there. And maybe even if I'm in my office, a lot of the staff will come up and they'll knock on the door and something like that. But you know what my kids do? They just barge right in the door. They come in the door, and you know what? I'm happy to see them. You know what? When you come in the door and you come in the throne room, yes, we ought to have respect and reverence for the Lord, but you need to understand he's your heavenly Father. He wants to see you. He's glad that you're there. And you have that kind of access to your heavenly Father. So grateful that my sins are buried in the deepest sea. They are as far as the east is from the west, and they are never to be brought up again. You'll never be judged for your sin. I'll never be judged for my sin, and I'm grateful for it. I'm so thankful for the confidence we can have in His complete deliverance and His complete, utter complete deliverance. Number two, confidence in His complete power. Verse number 15 through verse number 17 says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." God's power is limitless. You know, when we begin to have this confidence, and just like me, thinking of all these years that I went through, maybe those rough times where I was nervous and where I didn't know what to say and I didn't know what to do and I was uncertain, there were certain things that I knew, absolutely knew and understood, and those were the things that God gave me, the callings of God. And those things, I knew I could be confident. I knew I could be confident in His Word. I knew I could be confident in the promises of God, because I knew that He had complete power. He has infinite power. He created everything and He sustains everything. So we have devotions just about every night at our house. And I think it was a couple weeks ago, because I'm a nerd, sometimes we get off subject a little bit and we talk about other things. But anyway, we were talking about the vastness of space. And we were trying to figure out how long it would take to get across the Milky Way galaxy. Our galaxy, in case you didn't know, that's the galaxy we live in. The Milky Way galaxy, how long would it take us to get across it? Well, we were talking about, well, the Voyager space probe travels at 40,000 miles an hour. I mean, how many of you like a car that'll go 40,000 miles an hour? Yeah, some of you teens, I knew it. 40,000, that's hard to imagine that fast. It's incredibly fast. 40,000 miles an hour, it would take you to get across just one galaxy, it would take 1.7 billion years to get across one galaxy 40,000 miles an hour. And astronomers estimate that there could be 2 trillion galaxies in the universe. It's jaw-dropping to think about how great our God is. We can't even begin to understand the vast expanse of the universe. But I want you to listen to this verse talking about our great God. Isaiah 40, verse number 12 says, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand?" Talking about the waters of the earth. "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance." Meted just simply means means measured. A span would have been a unit of measurement really used during the Bible times. And it was a distance between the thumb and the little finger with the hand outstretched just like this. This was a span. And that's how they would measure things many times. And it says that our God, the universe, the entire universe will span it just like that. Something beyond our capabilities to understand. And I believe it would do us some good if we truly spent time considering the awesome power of God. We spend way too long worrying about the things that are going on in the world. I wonder how many of us today, we spent more time thinking about Congress and Hunter Biden than we did about the awesome power of our great God. It's shoved down our throats. It's on our devices. It's on our television. It's in front of us 24/7 if we want it. But sometimes we need to step back and we need to just look up at the sky and we need to say, you know what, God? You are awesome. In fact, if we continue in Isaiah 40 and we go down to verse number 26, it's going to really suggest that and really command that. Listen to it. It says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number, He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. He says, lift up your eyes and behold who hath created these things. It's good for us to stop for a moment, to look out into the heavens and to think about how great our God is, how good he is. Do you have a problem? Do you have a need? I'm certain that he is able, without a doubt. You have a struggle? Without a doubt, he is all you need. I'm so thankful that I can have confidence in his complete power, his unmatched power, his infinite power. Number three, confidence in his complete church. Verse number 18, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Wait a second, Brother David. The churches I've been a part of are anything but complete. I would say that a lot of them are struggling. A lot of them have, they're full of problems. I did a quick study on the church before this message and really for this message. And you know what I found? Just about many times when it mentions church, when the word church is mentioned, it refers to Christ being the head, the chief cornerstone, the rock, the church of God, the body of Christ, the temple of God, etc. Which shows me that when a group of people set out to establish a biblical New Testament church, Christ must be the main figure. I fear that too often people become preeminent in the church instead of Christ. And we need to be very clear about Bethany Baptist Church, the purpose of Bethany Baptist Church on the corner of 40th Street and Quaker Avenue in Lubbock, Texas, is to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That means that we don't worship a man or any man's abilities, or if you are someone that's interested in taking glory for yourself, then you're going to be robbing God of what is rightfully his, going contrary to the very purpose of the church's existence. And I believe that if we went back and we looked at just about every church split, church closing, or feud within the church, it could be traced back to someone trying to get the preeminence of Christ for themselves. And really, you'd say, really, really, Brother David, will people try to do that? Yes. Unfortunately, it's even happened here at times. We have to be very careful. It's happened since the beginning of the church. 3 John chapter 1, verse number 9 through 11 says, I wrote unto the church. It says, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You know why we can have confidence that we know we're getting the truth, and we can be confident in the work that God is doing at Bethany Baptist Church? Because for the last 50 years, Christ has been the head of this church. Yes, we've had pastors and we've had preachers throughout the years that have done an incredible work here. But Christ has been the central figure. He has been the one that's been lifted up. He is still preeminent. And we intend to keep it that way for our children and for our grandchildren, for generations to come. The church is a precious gift of God that should be a major part of every Christian's life. And I'm so thankful that I can be confident in his complete church. This body of believers, I'm thankful as I'm standing out there and I'm watching people come in. I'm like, praise the Lord. It's so good to see God's people. It's so good to see God's people. To see those that labor on Sunday, Sunday after Sunday. To see those bus workers that get out on Saturdays and they're going out and they're trying to find new kids and inviting kids and getting snot wiped all over them and whatever the case is, but they're there and they're wanting to serve the Lord, and I'm thankful for it. Just like God was calling me to talk to my future bride, calling me to preach, God is calling each of us to do a greater work for Him. I had to learn to put my trust and confidence in Him, not in myself, but looking at what God has done, who He is, and placing my full confidence for whatever the future holds, I am going to be confident in Him and I'm going to rely on Him. God is going to require you at some point to step outside of your comfort zone and do something for Him. However, I assure you that He will be with you. If He calls you, He will be with you, He will equip you, and He will give you everything that you need. But I'll be nervous. True. But I'll probably mess up. True. I have many times. But I've also learned that placing your full confidence in Christ today will reward you with so many benefits in the future. You see, putting my confidence in my height, my brand of clothes I wear, the car that I drive, a status symbol, or anything else that is earthly is completely misplaced. And we ought to be as Paul, finding our confidence in Christ alone. He didn't care what his former colleagues at the University of Jerusalem thought of him. He was singularly focused on his completeness in Christ. May we be the same. You know, when we think about all that Christ has done for us, all of who He is, we get out there and we get nervous about doing something for Christ. We need to say, you know what? God's called me to this, and remember who He is and that He's with you and He will guide you all the way. A few questions before we finish. Number one, do you often forget what it means to have the precious blood of Jesus Christ covering you? It means that you have new life. It means that you have been delivered from the power of darkness. It means that you are a citizen of heaven. You're a saint. Your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. You are a part of the family of God. You are loved. You have direct access to the throne of God. Never forget that. If you're a Christian and life circumstances have left you feeling down, it's time to lift up your head and remember who you are in Christ. Colossians 3, 1 and 2 says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." We got to set our affections above, not on things that are here. Second question, do you often forget that God is in complete control? Do you often forget that God is in complete control? God is all-powerful. There is nothing that's beyond His comprehension. He knows all and He sees all. He is aware of every detail of your life. He created life. He sustains life. And with a single sentence, the universe sprang into existence. And there is nothing beyond His power to solve. And we need to put our trust in Him, not in ourselves. Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Those are some amazing verses. And you know what? I brought up a lot of scripture because as I was reading this and as I was going through these different scenarios, these are just scriptures that over the years God has brought to mind. God has brought to mind. And if you're a Christian, you're walking with the Lord and you're trying to do something for Him, you have the same experience when the Word of God, a verse pops in your mind and you're thinking, "Thank you, Lord. I needed that." And there's so many times where these verses have come to mind in a situation and I've been able to put my reliance and my confidence and my trust in Him and be able to take that next step and to do what God wanted me to do. And then lastly, are you fulfilling your role in the body of believers? Is church something you go to Or is church something you're part of? The biblical principle of being a member of a church means that you have a specific function in the body. That means that every member of Bethany Baptist Church should be functioning in some capacity to help this body. Because we know in a body, we've got enough viruses and things that don't belong in our bodies, especially lately, that are hurting the body. And when you come to this body and you get here, you need to find somebody to encourage. You need to find somebody to help. You need to find somebody to edify and to build up. And that's what a church should do. Being a help, helping others. Complete confidence in Christ. Let's finish up with, we've been in the book of Isaiah quite a bit, so might as well finish in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 41 and verse number 10. It says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Fear thou not." And those are verses that I've gone to over and over the years because there's been a lot of fear at times. You guys are scary to preach to. I'm just kidding. You're not that scary to preach to. But it is a fearful thing to stand in front of somebody and to speak and to preach and to do all those things. And all those years back, as I stumbled and as I fumbled, and I just knew, you just take that next step. You make mistakes and you just keep going forward because this is what God wants you to do. And I would say to our young people, you're going to stumble and you're going to fall and you're going to question things, but just keep taking that next step for the Lord. And you're going to look back after years and years of doing that, and you're going to realize, I'm on the path that God has called me to, accomplishing His work. You get off of that, you start chasing everything that's in the world, fearful, never willing to step out, you're going to find yourself in a completely different place, wishing you would have followed the advice out of the book of Colossians and placed your full confidence in Christ and taken the next step. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed tonight.